Midnight movie reviews continue. We'd like to cover all the movies, including all of your on-demand opportunities as well. We got a couple more movies we're going to review here. And if you want to jump in, it's 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. And here is Colin and Eric, who join me every week. All right. Let's see. Eric, why don't you tell us about Ginger and Rosa?
Okay. This is the latest film from writer-director Sally Potter. And the film stars Elle Fanning and Alice Englert as Ginger and Rosa, two young girls in London. In the 1960s, just as the Cuban Missile Crisis is on the verge of happening, Englert's Rosa is a little bit more of the a little bit more grown up in the way she's starting to discover the sort of the rebellious stuff the teenagers get into, and she's all too happy to involve Ginger in those things, smoking and stuff like that. But Elle Fanning's Ginger has got a few more weightier things in her mind, mostly the destruction of the free world, the possibility it might be happening with the Cuban Missile Crisis. So she begins to sort of involve herself in the anti-war movement in London at the time, and she's surrounded by her parents, who would much rather her just sort of be a teenager. Her mother is played by Christina Hendricks. And her boyfriend in the film, stepdad, is played by Alessandro Nivola, who's an artist in his own right. So he's a little bit more in the more of the artist hippie vibe. So he's definitely down with exactly what Ginger is into these days. As far as the story, sort of like teenage rebellion and whatnot, we see films like this a lot where. Sometimes you don't know, especially once we've all evolved from being teenagers, who to sort of side with. Do we go with the teenagers because they're being misunderstood, or do we sort of now feel for the parents that, that these are these phases that the kids all go through? Watching this movie and seeing the people that Ginger has surrounded herself in, you can easily see why she would want to rebel and just sort of lash out at the people. Because everyone in the movie sort of speaks in this very pedantic, very pretentious tones about their sort of view of the world, particularly when it comes to a lot of the anti-war stuff. I think Elle Fanning is really quite good as Ginger. Alice Englert is fine as Rosa. I think some of the complications that her character gets into late in the movie don't really do the story a whole lot of justice. It just sort of causes some strife and some unnecessary drama in Ginger's sort of view of the war and how she just, is life really worth living if everyone around you is just, out to destroy you in some way. And the movie has a very abrupt ending. I was not expecting it to be as short as it was. It felt like there could have easily been another 20 minutes to this film. Somewhat glad there wasn't, just that I didn't have a whole lot of interest spending any more time with the adults in the room, even though it's a really great cast, not just Hendricks and Nivola, but also Oliver Platt and Timothy Spall and Annette Bening are also in the film. To me, watching this movie, all I kept thinking about is how much I'd rather be watching Matinee, which I thought had obviously a more whimsical take, but I think it had a lot more to say about the nature of being a teenager around that time. So my advice is just watch Matinee.
Colin, you didn't see this, did you?
Not all the way through, no.
Okay.
not because I was bored or disgusted by it. It was during the screener season, and I just fell asleep one night while watching it.
That's when I watched it. I saw this movie maybe 3.5 months ago. So
yeah,
I watched it when I first got the screener. Here's what I'm taking away from it. I think there's great period stuff in it.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful cast. Annette yep. Bening is unrecognizable, by the way.
Pretty much. Yeah.
I was like, wait a minute, is that Annette Bening?
Yeah.
I thought the idea was nice. I liked the idea of having one girl go through changes politically and one girl go through changes emotionally. I thought that was kind of an interesting take on it. Two sides of the same coin. I think that Alice Englert is good. I thought some of the performances, the adult performances, were fun to watch. A really great cast, but this Elle Fanning, man, she's the deal.
Yeah.
I mean, she is the real deal, man. She's great in this movie. It's a tremendous performance, and she plays. She was what was she 13 when they made this movie, and she's supposed to be 17 in the film.
Yeah.
I mean, and she pulls it off. I mean, perfectly. Mm-hmm. It's a great performance, and I just I wasn't as blown away by the film itself, and yeah, I would rather watch Matinee, and of course, any movie about coming of age during the Cuban Missile Crisis has to be compared to Matinee,
right?
especially if
this is inevitable. I mean, I'm sitting there, like, it's not fair to compare this movie to Matinee.
I know.
What else do you want me to do?
I know. I mean, you can't specifically have a coming of age teenage movie about. During the Cuban Missile Crisis, and I know that not that many people love Matinee as much as the three of us do, but and it didn't make a lot of money. I'm assuming it didn't make a lot of money. Matinee?
Oh God, no.
Not really.
No, but since then, I know that it has a wonderful following, and I think more people should see it. And I think that's great advice, Eric. Rent Matinee, but man, this kid's good. This Elle Fanning is good. She's the real deal. So I'm recommending it just because of her. I don't think it's.
Yeah.
I think it's a flawed movie. But man, this kid can act.
That's fair. That's absolutely fair. I mean, it's really the driving force that sort of kept me wanting to watch the movie. I mean,
yeah.
Like, well, I want to see her next scene. I don't really care about the adults in the room, giving this really pedantic advice to her and trying to steer her in one direction.
Yeah.
I wanted to leave the room myself.
Yeah.
So.
Well, boy, what did they put in the water in that family? What the hell is going on there? I mean, my God.
Yeah, I know.
I want some of those jeans. Jeez.
I'm like, Mr. Nivola, you stop painting. You got Christina Hendricks is in the room.
Yeah.
Go be with her. What are you doing?
Yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, it's for me, it's the Elle Fanning show. That's all.
Yeah.
That's it. All right, everybody hang on. We've got Spring Breakers we're going to review next right here on WGN. We should have some fun with this one. 312-981-7200. Tons of movies to talk about. We give you all the coverage so you can make your plans for the weekend, including if you just want to stay home and watch an on-demand film. Nick DiGilio here on The Voice of Chicago, 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Studios on the 7th floor of the Tribune Tower. And we got one more movie to review here. Colin and Eric from eFilmCritic.com are back. All right, Colin, tell us about Spring Breakers.
All right. Well, this is Harmony Korine's latest film, and it tells the story of four college co-eds who go to... in Kansas, long for the days... on for the joys of spring break in Florida, where, the music is loud and the sky is blue and the water is clear and misogyny is the order of the day. But they're in Kansas and they have no money. And, they're pretty pent up and dying to cut loose. So three of them hatch a plan involving a robbery that will give them enough money to make the road trip. And they do. And they get there. And it's all cracked up to be. And there's plenty of sex, drugs, partying, and debauchery going on. And, of course, they go to a party and end up going to jail because of all that is taking place. And they get bailed out by a hip-hop gangster who calls himself Alien, played by James Franco. And he convinces the four girls to go with him for a few days, but he takes them to sort of the seedy underbelly and, it's suddenly not that fun anymore, at least for Selena Gomez. This is a movie that, you can think about it in a variety of different ways, I suppose. But the thing is, I think it's supposed to be a commentary on just, the stupidity of this sort of lifestyle of doing the spring break thing in Fort Lauderdale or whatever. The sort of stuff you see on MTV all the time, sort of stuff we saw in the that first Piranha remake you know, or we're all just kind of cheering for the piranhas to eat all the idiot spring break, you know, morons. And I think this movie is on the side of the piranha as well. You know, and the movie is kind of sort of commenting on that sort of emptiness and the vapid, you know, lifestyle. The dialogue is very repetitive, intentionally repetitive, because I think the movie wants to say something deep and, you know, profound about this sort of thing, but sort of just kind of, you know, runs into a wall and, you know, just kind of goes in. That's why, you know, with the repetitive dialogue and everything, just kind of just goes in circles. You can think about, you know, the deeper meanings of this movie, you know, all you want. I don't think it's as profound as it thinks it is, but here's the deal. It's a really entertaining movie with some of the, like, weirdest and most memorable scenes I've seen so far this year, one in particular involving a Britney Spears song, or a couple scenes involving a Britney Spears song. You talked in the last segment or last movie about, you know, the Elle Fanning show. This is a James Franco show. By all means, this is a James Franco show. I know a lot of people are talking about those Selena Gomez and her breakout role or whatever, and yeah, she's very good in this, and so is the other Disney princess, whatever her name is. For me, it's all about Franco. I don't think it's as deep and meaningful as, you know, it wants to be, or people might think it is. Maybe that's the point. I don't know. But I do know that I'm probably not going to forget this movie for a while. So I recommend it.
Okay. Eric.
Well, I mean, we're pretty familiar with the works of Harmony Korine as both a writer and a director. And throughout his career, he's made movies that pretty much sort of push the level of our sort of tolerance and our, you know, comfort while watching them, mostly in not very interesting kind of way. We're just kind of looking at gross things on screen. I mean, his last movie was called Trash Humpers, for God's sake. So it involved people who put on old age masks and, you know, did the stuff in the title. And this movie, you know, watching, you know, the movie is definitely designed to make you uncomfortable in many ways. I don't think you're clearly not supposed to really like any of the behavior that's going on in the first half of this movie. And the movie is filled with slow motion shots that could, you know, make Joe Francis blush. Plenty of nudity and violence and just, you know, sort of abhorrent behavior and whatnot. But at the same time, while watching it, it's obvious it's beautifully shot and it's very colorful, in as Spring Break often is. The robbery sequence that we see in the first half of the movie sort of was like it was like the best thing I had seen Korine ever done. It was the most interesting visually. It was suspenseful. It was interesting. And then Colin's right. When James Franco enters this movie, about, you know, 45 minutes in. It takes on a completely different life because of Franco, who is unbelievably funny and sort of a 180-degree version of his drug dealer from Pineapple Express, and not just incredibly funny, but scary in his own way. It just makes everyone even further more uncomfortable throughout the film. The way he sort of treats these girls as his pets. In a way, I think is indicative to the sort of the misogyny that Colin's referring to. But unlike the movie Failed, this movie is trying to comment about that and, you know, shoving it in your face in a way. It's not a film where you come away liking anyone, pretty much. And I think that's part of the point. I mean, I don't know if it's quite as profound as some people are claiming it to be, like Colin said. But the fact that it even approaches that level is miles ahead of anything Korine has done before. I found the film very interesting in a way that I didn't expect it to be. This could have easily just been just a stunt movie, just like, hey, look, we got some Disney pop princesses and teen stars in it, you know, just flaunting themselves in bikinis and out in some cases throughout the movie, and, you know, we're just going to make them look bad on screen. And at the end, because they happen to be in a pretty interesting movie, it turns out to be a pretty good career choice, I think, for many of them. So I found this film quite interesting. I liked it.
Yeah, I did too. I never thought I would say this, but I like a Harmony Korine movie.
There it is.
Because I've hated almost everything this guy's done. But it does take that jackknife turn as soon as Franco comes in. Because it's sort of bubbly and, you know, really colorful and really slickly put together. And I don't think there's really a lot going on depth-wise, you know. And the tone certainly changes when Franco shows up. And anybody who's bitching about Franco in the Oz movie needs to go see this. And I liked him in the Oz movie. I'm one of the few people that defend him in the movie because I think he's really good in it. But this is maybe the best thing he's ever done, and I'm including 127 Hours in this. And he's great in this, and it's a really weird performance and a really funny performance. There's a montage sequence in this movie where he kind of displays all the things he has.
Yeah.
That is as cool and as weird and as funny a scene I've seen in the movies all year. And, yeah, the Britney Spears stuff is absolutely hilarious. He's great in it, and it does get a little bit – it's Harmony Korine, so, yeah, I mean, it does get disturbing. I don't think this guy's capable of making a movie that doesn't kind of get under your skin. And this one does, but in a much more interesting way than any of his other movies are. This is technically by far – the sharpest thing he's ever made. I didn't think this guy knew where to put a camera or how to use a camera until I saw this movie. His wife is good in this movie too, and you know she plays one of the chicks in it. And I think it is a smart move for these young girls to take on these roles. And it's not just about exploitation. I mean, I think there's some really interesting stuff going on here. In addition to there being a lot of there's a lot of very scantily clad ladies in this movie. I mean, and for long lingering shots. I mean, there are times when it's like, dude, back the camera off a little bit.
I never said that.
No. But I really warmed up to it, especially when Franco showed up. He's great in it. And he is, it's one of the most interesting and fun characters to watch I've seen all year. And just great stuff. Overall, I like you, Colin, I don't think it's as deeply profound as a lot of critics are finding it, because I know it's getting a lot of raves, but it certainly is damned entertaining. It has some interesting statements to make, but I mean, again, all the girls are fun to watch, but Franco, I mean, I don't even know what to say. James Franco is just unbelievably great in it. So
start the Oscar campaign.
Yeah, he's so good in it. It's such a great character. So Spring Breakers, I liked it. I thought it was very entertaining, and I'm definitely recommending it. By the way, I couldn't even find where Inappropriate Comedy was playing. And then I looked it up. You know where it's playing?
The Movie Co.
At Movie Co.
Yeah.
So I didn't get
it. You know what else?
Yeah.
You know what else was at the Movie Co?
No.
The Chicago Critics Film Festival.
Oh, that's right. April April 12th, right?
And April 12th through the 14th.
April 12th through the 14th. Sarah Polley's going to be there. William Friedkin's going to be there. A lot of really great movies. A lot of great shorts. And it's going to be at the Movie Co. Theater in Rosemont, where you can see the Inappropriate Comedy directed by ShamWow's front man, Vince Offer.
But not at our festival.
No. No. And then speaking of the Movie Co., that you can check out, give the website so people can check out the Chicago Film Critics Film Festival.
You go to ChicagoCriticsFilmFestival.com, okay. And you can see all the movies that we currently have booked. Individual tickets, passes are on sale now, so you can get daily passes and individual passes. A full schedule will be up on the site within the next few days, and individual tickets for those movies will also be going on sale as well.
Okay.
And I'm not going to reveal what we're going to be showing for Mr. Friedkin right now, but I'm going to tell you, you're going to want to buy tickets for it.
All right. Well, there you go. And William Friedkin is going to be there, and you can get all the information at that website. And also, I want to mention very quickly, Colin's short film, Folktale, is going to be shown a week from Tuesday. April 2nd at my screening of Life of Brian. We are going to debut Colin's short film, Folktale, that our own buddy Colin. He'll be there. He'll introduce it, and it's really a wonderful piece. So,
so excited.
Yeah, looking forward to that. All right, what do we got next week?
Next week we got The Host, Stephanie Meyer's
yes.
film directed by Andrew Niccol.
Yeah, I don't actually. Know what the hell's going on. Maybe it'll work out like Le Gravenaise did.
Maybe. <You know? laughs> also, G.I. Joe Retaliation.
Yeah, man!
Yeah!
Oh, boy.
Yeah, and we got a new Tyler Perry movie next week.
God.
And a new Miyazaki film.
All right. Ooh,
up on Poppy Hill.
Oh, awesome. Okay.
Yeah, that's going to be opening at the Landmark.
Okay, cool. There's something to look forward to. Guys, always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, there you go. Colin and Eric, we will see you guys next week right here on the Midnight Movie Reviews. News is next. Nick DiGilio here on The Voice of Chicago, 720 WGN. And, we are here till 2 a.m. tonight. Tomorrow, or I should say tonight, we're back at 6 o'clock. And we've got a full show, 6 to midnight. We got a whole bunch of great guests, including a former American Idol contestant is going to be on tomorrow night. Paige from season 10 is going to be here. She's going to perform, tell us about some of the music that she's currently doing now. We are also going to be covering, as you all know, it is officially right now, because it is after midnight, it is officially National Corn Dog Day, one of the greatest holidays of all time. We will talk to the two guys who founded the National Corn Dog Day world, and we'll talk to them about how that all happened. There are parties, Corn Dog Day parties going on around the nation right now. They'll be happening today. It coincides with all the crazy basketball madness. It's always the first Saturday of March Madness. And so that's going to begin today. People are going to be gathering together in houses and having parties, eating corn dogs, tater tots, and drinking beer. That seems to be the thing to do. And we will tell you what a triple-double is in the world of the National Corn Dog Day parties. And we'll visit some Corn Dog Day parties, including the Indiana Corn Dog Killers, the Nick D. Indiana Corn Dog Killers. They're ready to go. They showed me the picture of their stocked refrigerator with more beer than I think any human being can consume. And they're getting ready with their corn dogs and their tater tots, and they're going to have a blast. And we'll check in with those guys as well as some other parties, and we'll cover National Corn Dog Day. We had Gus on tonight. He was kind enough to come in and bring in some of his great dipping dogs from Wiener and Still Champion. Remember, Wiener and Still Champion is offering a great special for National Corn Dog Day from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. today, Saturday, National Corn Dog Day. All the Dippin' Dogs, the signature corn dogs that are the best in the city, are $1.50. So you can get Dippin' Dogs for $1.50 to celebrate National Corn Dog Day. I suggest you get over to the Wiener and Still Champion in Evanston and start chowing down. Only $1.50. You could have like 90 of them for that kind of price. And they're all made to order. They're all fresh. The actual corn coating that's on the hot dog is made from scratch. Gus puts it together. And every single time you order a corn dog, it gets dipped and fried immediately. They're not sitting under heat lamps just sitting there waiting. Nope, they're all great. And it's great tasting. There's a nice crunch and a softness to the batter. And it's a classic, beef dog. Really, really great stuff. So National Corn Dog Day, celebrate it by going out to Wiener and Still Champion. Say, hey, Nick sent you. It's on Dempster right in Evanston there. Get yourself some corn dogs for only $1.50 all day long. And then turn on the radio and listen in. Gus will call us a little bit later on during the show to let us know how National Corn Dog Day went for him at the Wiener and Still Champion. So there you go. There was this story that I was reading about online, and this is marked yesterday's date, so the 22nd. Evidently, Lindsay Lohan to spend a week with Charlie Sheen before rehab.
Huh?
Lindsay, she's in, by the way, she's in Scary Movie 5 with Charlie Sheen. They have a scene together in it. She is set to spend time with Charlie Sheen before heading to rehab. The troubled star is to check into inpatient facility for 90 days as part of a plea deal agreed this week in a Los Angeles Superior Court relating to charges in another July car accident. Before she begins treatment, which must be before May 2nd, she intends to make the most of her time by fitting in both work and pleasure. Lindsay reportedly is going to spend a week with Charlie, during which she will tape a guest appearance on his show, Anger Management. Lindsay's pre-rehab plan, a week with Charlie Sheen in L.A. She wants to go to Brazil, and that's what a source told Lohan is 26. Charlie Sheen is 47. They got to know each other while they filmed the upcoming comedy, Scary Movie 5, which is due to hit theaters on April 15th. Since then, her generous co-star has repeatedly supported the actress by giving her $1,000 to pay a tax bill and offering to be her mentor. Charlie has suffered through his own personal demons, including rehab, so he must know what Lindsay is going through. While she is spending time with Charlie, the actress intends to spend 2 days shooting a guest appearance on his TV show, Anger Management. Speaking of the role, her lawyer, Mark Heller, told the New York Post he's a therapist and she'll play a patient who falls in love with him. Meanwhile, despite claims that the Liz and Dick star is romancing City of the Sun musician Avi Snow, Mark insisted there is nothing serious between the pair, as she has, quote-unquote, many boyfriends. He added, Lindsay is a beautiful young woman who has many pursuers and many boyfriends.
Wow.
Yeah, man.
What else can you say?
A week before going into rehab, you're going to hang with Charlie Sheen.
Now, is she going to need more rehab?
I don't know.
Than originally scheduled after being with him? That's what, you know.
I don't know. But apparently Charlie Sheen, now, according to, you know, stories, Charlie Sheen is clean.
Uh-huh.
That's what they say. I don't know. So maybe because of the insane experience that this guy's had for 30 years, he might, you know, be a good mentor to her, but that just the headline, Lindsay Lohan to spend a week with Charlie Sheen before rehab is enough to, you know, I don't know.
So Charlie Sheen's a good role model for Lindsay Lohan.
For Lindsay Lohan, maybe. For other people, probably not, but for Lindsay Lohan, maybe.
I just want to go hang out with the two of them for like a day, just see what that's like.
Man. I got to tell you, though, every time I, you know, there are more stories about Lindsay Lohan, the sadder I get, because when I first saw her, when she was a little kid, when I saw her in Freaky Friday, or in a Parent Trap, when I saw her in the Parent Trap, then I saw her in Freaky Friday, and then the breakthrough role in Mean Girls, I loved her. I loved her, and I made no qualms about how awesome I thought she was and how talented I think she is, and that I predicted like a really, really big future for her, like Oscars and all kinds of stuff. She goes on to make a Robert Altman movie and is very good in that. And then it all just kind of went down the Bemis, which is so bad, which is so sad, because she had so much great potential. She was so unbelievably, when she burst on the scene, she was so cute and so attractive and so talented.
Her comic timing in Mean Girls was incredible.
Amazing.
She's great.
The first time she hosted Saturday Night Live, she was brilliant.
Yeah. The Harry Potter sketch? Was that the first one? Yeah.
That one, and she's also part of one of the most legendary sketches of all time, the first Debbie Downer sketch was on that show. And I just loved her. And then, you know, it all started, once I started seeing her hanging out with, like, Paris Hilton, and, you know, I just was just like, what are you doing? What? So, I mean, a really, really, really sad story, and now she's going to spend a week with Charlie Sheen before she checks into rehab. I think it's absolutely appropriate that we just did a story about Charlie Sheen and Lindsay Lohan before we do Drunks in the News, so which is what we're going to do right after this on WGN.
Well, I ain't seen my baby since I don't know
yes.
I've been drinking bourbon whiskey.
You know what this is when you hear the song. This is when we gather up all the real stories about drunk, stupid people doing drunk, stupid stuff while they're stupid and drunk. Gather them all together, and we call it
Drunks in the News. Drunks in the News.
Drunks in the News is brought to you by the greatest restaurant on the planet, the Gale Street Inn. And you've heard the commercials about their lunch menu, which is outstanding. Available Wednesday through Sunday, you can have lunch at the Gale Street Inn. Thank my main man, George, for sponsoring Drunks in the News and everybody at Gale Street Inn. You will never, ever have a bad experience or a bad meal at the Gale Street Inn. I love the place. Tell them Nick sent you. Get out to the Gale Street Inn ASAP and chow down. And if you're going for lunch, get the chicken pot pie. It's pretty unbelievable. All right. Yes, thanks to the Gale Street Inn. Here we go.
Drunk number one. Drunk number one.
I come home one Friday, had to tell the landlady that I lost my job.
Bloomfield Township Police received numerous 911 calls at around 8:10 a.m. Thursday, March 21st, regarding several shots being fired in the North Pemberton area. Witnesses stated they heard up to 30 shots being fired. One caller told police he observed two men firing a gun from the rear deck of a residence located on North Pemberton. Police set up a perimeter around the area and saw a car leaving the suspected residence from where the shots had been fired. The car was stopped by officers, and the driver was found to be intoxicated with a gun in his possession. Based upon information they gathered from the traffic stop, police officers entered the home and subsequently took a second man into custody. Once police determined that there was no one else in the house, a search warrant was obtained, and the officers searched the home. They located a number of firearms and spent shell casings. Upon interviewing both men, officers determined that they were shooting at a birdhouse hanging from a tree. Police reported that both men appeared to have been extremely drunk at the time of the incident. No one was injured as a result of the shootings, and both men are currently being held in the Bloomfield Township Police Department. The case will be presented to prosecutors for charges.
Today was standing on a corner, leaning up against a post. I said, but I'm tired.
Drunk number two, drunk number two.
She said, that don't confront me. Long as I get my money next
time. A Bloomfield Township police officer pulled over a 2013 Dodge Durango on Saturday for running a red light, found the driver to be intoxicated and the car stolen. When the officer checked the vehicle identification number, he learned it had an Ontario registration. It had been reported stolen from a casino in Detroit. The driver, 32-year-old LaTeresa Wilson from Detroit, was immediately taken into custody, where police determined she was indeed intoxicated. Upon further inspection, police found Wilson was in possession of brass knuckles, which is a felony in Michigan, and four stolen credit cards. Wilson was charged with identity theft, dangerous weapons, driving while license is suspended, operating while intoxicated, and operating with false identification. She is in jail with a $25,000 cash bond.
I tell the landlady, I got a job. I'm going to pay the rent. She said, yeah. I said, oh, yeah.
Drunk number three. Drunk number three.
Go home, Amber Jackson, you're drunk. Okay, call the fire department to pull you out of that high chair you're stuck in and then go home. Jackson, 19, thought it would be an awesome idea and like a great Facebook picture if she climbed into a baby's high chair. After sticking her tongue out and snapping a few pictures, the teen realized that she was stuck in the toddler-sized furniture. Her friends called the fire department, who were probably second-guessing their career choices the entire time that they worked to free her. People have been saying that they think I'm stupid, but I was just drunk, she said. But that's a much better excuse. And the picture, by the way, is pretty special. Picture of the girl stuck in the high chair.
Drunk number four
is our guest reader this week. This is Tanya, drunk number four.
And the piano has been drinking. The piano has...
This is Tanya reporting for Drunks in the News. Police stop woman driving with four flats. A local woman who was allegedly driving drunk was arrested on Holden Street on Friday after a state trooper saw her driving a vehicle with heavy front-end damage and four flat tires. Karen Turner, 44, of Holden, was driving a 2008 Toyota RAV4. She was charged with driving under the influence of alcohol and leaving the scene of an accident with property damage. Ms. Turner is scheduled to be arraigned on Monday in the Leo Minister District Court. Once again, this is Tanya reporting for Drunks in the News.
Come down here. So what you want?
Drunk number five. Drunk number five.
Russia never stops stopping us with some of its people and their lifestyle, like this guy who starts a fight with a car. We don't know if this video is fake or if it's just vodka and cold weather that made this chubby man act like he was in Mortal Kombat. The scene was captured by a dashboard-mounted camera in a car It seems that the man is angry with the car or its driver, and he wants to teach him a lesson to emphasize his manly powers. He shows his kung fu abilities, waist naked in the freezing weather. His offensive attitude ends quickly as he attacks the car, hurts his knees when he jumps on the hood. Trying to hide the suffering, he poses for the last time in front of the car and then proceeds to slowly limp away. The video, by the way, we can put it up on our webpage right there. The drunk Russian guy fighting a car. All right. It is time for us to vote. We've got Tanya with the drunk woman driving with four flat tires. We got the drunk guys shooting at a birdhouse. We got the woman who got stuck in a high chair. We got a drunk Russian who is shirtless and fights a car. And we've got a drunk woman who was pulled over and had brass knuckles and was driving on all kinds of suspended licenses and things like that. All right. And, Craig?
You know, I hate voting for this one because it's radio, so they can't see the video from us, but they can go to our Facebook page and see it. It's got to be the guy fighting the car.
The drunk Russian.
From the video. Just go to Facebook and see it.
Facebook.com/NickDShow if you'd like to see the Russian guy fighting a car. Okay?
I like the sound of that one. I haven't seen the video yet, but I heard about the drunk girl in the high chair earlier in the week, and that one was just sounded just absolutely hilarious. I'm going to have to go with that one because I'd already known about it, and I really liked it.
All right. Well, that's a great one, too. It's actually a really strong week, but I got to go with the drunk Russian because you got to see this video, the drunk Russian guy fighting a car. That's the drunk of the week. Tanya gets herself a $25 $25 Gale Street Inn gift card. And if you want to be a part of it, find the link to a funny drunk story and send it to ccollins@wgnradio.com and tell him you want to read it. Same bat channel, same bat time next week for
Drunks in the News.
F-bomb.
Context.
All right, you know what this is, straight out of context. This is when you listen to everybody on this radio station when they say something that you can pull out of context and it sounds dirty, jot down the day, the time, who said it, and send it to ccollins@wgnradio.com. That's C-C-O-L-L-I-N-S. How many we got?
We have six this week.
All right,
the first one comes from Wild Bill, and this is Johnny B.
I always jack with him. I just love it. I always jack with him. I just love it.
From Wild Bill again, it's Gary Meyer.
All right, Tom, why don't you do a quickie? All right, Tom, why don't you do a quickie?
All right.
This one's from Larry B. It's Gary.
Got a little too close to Wee Willie, and you got caught in there?
Okay,
from
next.
Dirty Dave, Gary Meyer.
Hey, Jim, can you give it to me in 10 seconds?
All right, next.
From Daniel, it's Lou Manfredini.
You and Lyle in the backyard, right? In the hay bale?
And then one last one from Daniel. This is Lou as well. It's not really dirty, but it's definitely funny.
Okay.
I would have been a great woman.
There you go.
Again, listen 24/7 to everybody on this radio station. When they say something, you can pull out of context, jot down the time, send it to ccollins@wgnradio.com. And whenever I am mentioned or the show is mentioned in any capacity, you can be a spy. What do we got?
We have just one this week. It's pretty quick, just 10 seconds. This is from Wild Bill. It's Dean. It's Dean's show. He's talking about our website.
There's about 150 pictures of Nick DiGilio.
Okay. For some reason. There's Gary Meyer.
Apparently this is the Nick DiGilio website. There's 150 pictures of him. There's
150 pictures of me on the website?
I posted a lot of podcasts last week.
Oh, okay.
I went a little crazy, and they all default to pictures of you.
Right, okay.
And Dean's is the next show on air.
Got it. Okay, yeah. That makes sense. Well, you're doing a nice job, though. Those podcasts going. All right, if I'm mentioned or the show is mentioned in any capacity, jot down the day, the time, who said it, and send it to ccollins@wgnradio.com. That's the email address to remember, ccollins@wgnradio.com.
Spies Like Us makes me laugh so hard.